Hi, I'm Matt Bush, the news director at Blue Ridge Public Radio. The following is a candidate forum we held in our studios on February 7th with three candidates running for the Republican nomination for North Carolina's 11th Congressional District, which encompasses all of Western North Carolina. Incumbent Republican Mark Meadows announced in December he would retire instead of seeking a fifth term in office. That set off a mad scramble of Republican candidates filing to run in a roughly 36-hour period before the deadline to do so. All told, 11 candidates are running in the GOP primary. Each were invited to participate in two forums BPR held. We have three in this forum: Wayne King, Vance Patterson, and Albert Wiley. Before we get to that, a reminder that early voting for the primary election in North Carolina runs until February 29th. Those who have not registered to vote yet will only be able to do so during the early voting period. You can find a full list of early voting locations and the hours they are open at our website, bpr.org. The deadline to request an absentee by mail ballot is February 25th, and primary day is Tuesday, March 3rd. And remember, you do not need photo ID to vote in the primary election. Now, on with the show. So we'll start with opening statements, and we will begin with Wayne King.
Good morning. My name is Wayne King. I was former Deputy Chief of Staff for Congressman Meadows the last 7 years, former Vice Chairman of the State Republican Party, and I believe we need a member of Congress that can hit the ground running on day one. I think it's important that we have someone that understands constituent services. Many of these candidates will vote exactly the same way in Washington, D.C., without any question. I mean, you're dealing with mostly conservative people. And the thing that separates me apart is I have ran the constituent service operation for Congressman Meadows the last 7 years. I believe that's where the rubber meets the road at, is helping people with their IRS issues, their VA issues, and the like. I mean, when you talk about helping people cut through the red tape in Washington, I am the only candidate that can do that. I look forward to answering your questions this morning. Thank you.
Vance Patterson.
My name is Vance Patterson. I'm a father of four, married 45 years to my wife, Mary Jo. We've been living in Western North Carolina for 26 years. I'm a serial entrepreneur in that I've started 21 companies. Also, I've taught entrepreneurship at the University of Oxford in England. Two of my companies that I'm operating right now make industrial fans. We actually make things out of metal, ship them across the country and around the world. I'm a very proud American manufacturer. 6 years ago, Mary Jo and I also started an education foundation that builds and gifts permanent displays of the Declaration of Independence, U.S. Constitution, and Bill of Rights to communities around the country. You have one here in Buncombe County, right across from the courthouse downtown Asheville. These settings are designed to last 300 to 500 years, and we have done 28 of these across the country. 14 of them here in Western North Carolina. We've got a dedication coming up in Mitchell County on the 17th of this month. President Trump is a businessman, he's an entrepreneur, and a visionary. He sees things that are possible and then puts together a team and makes things happen. As you can see from my family experience, business, and foundation, I also am a man of works over words. On health care, I will work to make permanent reforms that do not allow for Medicare for all. Medicare for all means less Medicare for those already receiving it. Social Security must stay funded and solvent. It is not an entitlement. It is a personal account. The Second Amendment. I will fight any attempt to change any of the 27 words of the Second Amendment that ends in a period, because without the Second Amendment, the other amendments and the Constitution may never matter. I will fight against aborting babies. Abortion is an atrocity against mankind. I believe any idea conceived by God should be cared for in this lifetime. I look forward to your questions.
And Albert Wiley.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Albert Wiley. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I believe I am very well qualified to serve and also to be a great benefit to this district. I'm a cancer specialist physician. I've had about 40 years experience in that. I am also started out though as a nuclear engineer. And with that experience and with my 30-year association with the U.S. Navy Reserve, mostly active duty during the Vietnam era, but continuous service and deployment over the years, I think all of these life experiences as director of cancer centers at the University of Wisconsin and also at associate director at the University of Wisconsin and as a director at East Carolina University, this 40-year experience in medicine, I think, well prepares me to understand what people need. So I will be running on trying to improve the health care, the public health, and also try to stimulate some new types of biotechnology businesses. I served on the governor's council in Wisconsin on biotechnology and learned quite a bit about how to start new biotechnology industries. I ran for Congress in 1984, and President Reagan strongly endorsed me, so I hope that people will understand that I have long-term, strongly conservative values. I'm also a Trump Republican. He reminded me of President Reagan, so I've supported him since he announced. I am a native of Western North Carolina, grew up in Canton primarily, but also Little and Highlands and Forest City. I've actually worked in Western North Carolina, Jackson and Cherokee counties in clinics within the last 10 years. So I understand the district and its people. Thank you.
Okay. And we'll go on to question and answers now, and each candidate will have 90 seconds to respond to the questions. We will start with the first question to Vance Patterson, and that is, what do you feel the biggest issue is facing the 11th Congressional District?
I believe it's the same issue. You want local issues or?
Any issue.
Health care is probably the biggest issue facing anybody in America right now. As they say, people can be one instance away from disaster. I believe health care should be reformed such that you get what you need, but you pay for what you want. Likening it to, working on your car. You don't get insurance to pay for changing the oil, and yet you have catastrophic insurance should you have a crash. I believe we should open up the state lines. There's an act that was enacted back in 1944 called the Massey-Ferguson Act, which the states were allowed to regulate health insurance, and that's why you can't have health insurance going across state lines. That needs to be reformed or repealed so you can have that trade across state lines so you've got free market competition. You've seen the ads, Liberty, Liberty, Liberty. That's about car insurance. And you can, and with Liberty Insurance, you can pick what you want, and yet you have the catastrophic insurance that you need. That's what we need to do about health care reform. Also, allow the patents to be modified such that, so that the big pharma can't just tweak a patent a little bit and get an extension on that patent to keep that from becoming a generic drug. That is something that the government can do.
All right, Albert Wiley.
What's the main problem facing the district at this time? I would agree there are certain chronic issues. Health care has been a problem in terms of how to finance it for a number of years. But I also think there is a need for retraining of people who've lost their jobs in the furniture and textile industries. And retraining so that I think we ought to set a policy in the district of retraining people and setting up opportunities for them to retrain themselves in community and other colleges. There's a lot that the federal government can do facilitating that. But the major issue in the district at any given time can always change. For example, what if the current coronavirus became a pandemic, then I believe also that constituent services is the main job of any congressman, and he has to be preparing his office to react to things that may threaten the district at any time, such as hopefully this won't happen, but there's a lot of concern about this coronavirus in China right now. So I think we have to be prepared as a congressman to serve the people in your district for a variety of environmental, forest fires, whatever it is, at any given time. So he needs to be constantly preparing his office to respond to other things in addition to addressing the chronic needs of veterans and unemployed and drug addicts and so forth.
Okay. Wayne King.
Well, I think that's a great question. I think there's a number of issues that's facing Western North Carolina, and being in Congressman Mehta's office the last 7 years, I believe that constituent service is something that has to be maintained, and we've done a great job with that. And I agree with one of the other candidates that mentioned health care. Health care is something that affects people every single day. And the problem is with the health care issue is we can't agree in Washington, D.C. We've got people pulling from every angle every day about what needs to happen, what doesn't need to happen. The president has put out many proposals about health care, and they can't even get through Congress because of Speaker Pelosi and some of the radical left. So I believe health care must be addressed. That is something that affects every single member of our society. We need to make sure that catastrophic health care is in there. We also need to be pre-existing conditions. Pre-existing conditions, we need to buy across state lines. There's a number of things that has to happen about the health care issue, and we must work together with other Republican and conservative members to make sure that happens.
We'll go to our second question, and Albert Wiley, this goes to you first. The U.S. has seen an extended economic boom over the last decade, but at the same time, the federal deficit has also been growing. Why do you think that is, and what do you, as a member of Congress, plan to do about it?
Well, the deficit is growing because Congress cannot discipline itself. I suppose it's human nature when you get into an office like a congressman that you want to give benefits to people to, of course, keep them happy with you and keep you in office. I plan to serve only 2 to 3 terms. I think term limits might help with the deficit problem. Once a congressman gets in too long, they get too indebted to lobbyists and catering to their needs and funding more and more of whatever they need. I'm self-funding this congressional election. I've run several times, and I always self-fund myself in the primary so that I'm not going to be obligated to special interest. I'm obligated to the people who send me to that office if I'm or were ever fortunate enough to be elected. I agree with President Trump on almost everything. He's done a great job in cutting back on regulations and facilitating growth in the economy, which helps to offset the debt and the deficit. I, like Congressman Meadows, who's done a great job supporting President Trump, President Trump's going to need support in the coming years, even after he gets reelected, because I'm sure the Democrats are going to continually be after him, and he's going to need people in Congress who are going to vote strongly to support him, and I would do that.
Wayne King.
Well, the debt certainly is out of control, and as one of the youngest candidates in this field, I happen to believe that we need to make sure our financial house is in order. And to do that, I think we've got to start looking at individual agencies instead of these omnibus and cromnibus bills that are coming before members of Congress, and you just have a bloated spending package. And we've seen that from Republicans and Democrats. When the Republicans were in charge, they were doing the exact same thing. When the Democrats are in charge, they're doing the same thing. We must have people that are unified to stand up and say, you know what, enough is enough. We need to look at every single federal agency, and we need to be sure that everything is spent on things that are needed. We've had, you know, just tons of radical, wasteful spending in various agencies that's been reported over the last few years, and we've got to get that in order. We've got to make sure that the tax cuts are permanent, and we've got to be sure that we do everything we can to make sure our financial house is in order. Thank you.
Vance Patterson.
I looked at this back in 2012 and ran the numbers out. I was a financial analyst, ran the numbers out, and I said that our national debt is going to be bigger than our military budget if we don't do something about it, and it is approaching that now. The national interest on the national debt is running around $479 billion,
450 billion, and military spending is around 579 billion right now. So it's approaching that, and that is not right. We don't have a revenue problem. We've got a spending problem. President Trump's tax cut generated another $133 billion in revenue, but spending went up another $239 billion. So people talk about balancing the budget, and that is just, to me, that is the worst way to try to approach this. They've been talking about it for years, and they haven't done it and probably won't do it, doing a balanced budget amendment. In my companies, we don't have budgets. And the way we do it is somebody wants to buy something, they come to me, we talk about it, and I tell them, it sounds like a good idea, but don't spend any money. And they know what that means. They go away, they come back with numbers, competitive pricing, things and good reasons. We talk about it again, and then we go ahead and do it. We get what we need without having budgets. Now, I'm not saying that's what we could do with the government, but somewhere between what we're doing now and the way I run my companies is a way to control spending, because we don't have a spending problem in my country, in my company. Right now, we don't have a revenue problem either, which is a pretty sweet spot to be in.
Okay. Go to our next question, and who started last time? Wayne, you started last time, so Vance starts this time. Oh, it's your turn, sorry. Get myself confused here, I apologize. So we'll start with Wayne King first, and that is, do you support any changes around gun laws, and if so, what would they be?
I do not. I believe that law-abiding citizens should be able to protect themselves and bear arms. I happen to believe that, it's your constitutional right, number one. I mean, there's been a number of sanctuary city issues and sanctuary county issues, and a lot of that's come before their county bodies, their county commissions, and I applaud what many of the county commissions have done all across Western North Carolina. Here in Asheville, you've got a problem with your sheriff. Your sheriff are harboring criminals. It's just the bottom line, and he's not working with ICE. I think that is a problem. I think there should be repercussions on that individual. I believe that we need to be sure that men and women, law-abiding citizens, can protect their families and protect their property, and I don't think that you can do that without having a weapon. Thank you.
Vance Patterson.
As I said earlier, the Second Amendment ends in a period, and it needs to remain that way. If you think back, our founding fathers weren't that far from Mother England. And in England, the British Empire, they did not allow them to have firearms. So when they got them here, they wanted to keep them, and that's why they wrote that Second Amendment. You have to realize that one of the biggest concerns in all families is security, security in the home. One of the worst fears of a hardened criminal, a violent criminal, is an armed victim. Because armed victims don't have any rules. If you've got a gun in your house, you don't have any rules like the police do. The police have rules and the criminals know that. 87% of all mass killings since 1950 have happened in gun-free zones. I believe we need to provide security in our schools with concealed carry as one possibility. My wife and I are both concealed carry. And we went through that class, and they don't just teach you how to shoot a gun. They teach you all the safety rules. Where to hide a gun in a house, to keep it away from kids. There is no place. The kids will find it. You have to keep it secure. So that's the kind of training that goes into concealed carry for anybody carrying inside a school. There are also training classes that the Sheriff's Department can come out and do. We had it done at our businesses as to what to do should there be an active shooter on campus. That can be done in the schools. You run, you hide, and then you fight. And that's what they teach you, and that can be taught in the schools also.
Albert Wiley.
Well, I agree with everything that's been said. The Second Amendment was written by our founders for a good reason, and that type of reason still stands, not only for protecting against common criminals, protecting our families, but also we have to constantly be aware of the possibility that there can be terrorist groups arise that people will have to defend themselves against. Hopefully that would never happen, but I think the background checks, if they're done well and with the artificial intelligence searching of computer systems now, I think that is adequate to keep people who are having mental difficulties from having weapons. So I don't see any need for any change.
Next question, and Vance Patterson gets this one first. Western North Carolina in particular has been hit hard by the opioid crisis. What, as a legislator at the federal level, can you do about this and about access to health care in general?
Well, I mean, certainly help out with law enforcement, make sure they've got what they need as far as materials and equipment, training. Going beyond just the opioids, we've got a real methamphetamine problem here in Western North Carolina. This is something that has always been there. Of course, the opioids were more got a lot more attention for a while, but methamphetamines are coming back very strong because of the supply and demand. Now, it used to be that these meth labs might be in a trailer park or something like that. Not anymore. The meth is coming up out of Mexico, across the border, which is one reason we need the border wall to focus all the attention on the border crossings rather than and the criminals rather than the families down there. But we need to stop that flow of methamphetamines coming up from Mexico into Atlanta and into South Carolina and then into Western North Carolina. Methamphetamines are something that there is no treatment for. I mean, there's no medical treatment. There are three medical treatments for opioids. There's nothing like that for methamphetamines. There are treatment centers, and we need to allow for more of that, supporting those treatment centers. I believe that's what we can do, and if we can focus the attention on it, we can get something done.
Okay. Albert Wiley.
Well, there's no question about it that the opioid has been and is a crisis in this district as well as throughout the country, actually. And part of it was due to poor prescribing practices by physicians. I think that is being corrected by the medical associations. I think that we're being much more careful as physicians. I prescribed a lot as a cancer physician, but there are other drugs now and other ways that we can handle patients' pain. The fentanyl crisis is also like the methamphetamine. Fentanyl is an extremely dangerous drug. Actually was used as a bioweapon or was thought of as a bioweapon. It's so dangerous. I think the Russians may have used it at one time at a terrorist event. So these drugs are all dangerous. I personally believe marijuana is a very dangerous drug, and I hope that this federal government, and I would vote against it every time it came up as a federal if it comes up as a congressman. I certainly hope North Carolina doesn't go along with these other states. They're already finding out what a big mistake it is in impairing the function of our young people. We've got to protect the brains of our young people, and these drugs are all bad for their brains. We're going to need their intellectual power in the future.
Okay. Wayne King.
Well, I think this is a very important issue involving the medical community, the law enforcement community, and 8 of the 13 Republican sheriffs in the district has endorsed me. And the reason they endorsed me is because of issues just like this, the issues that we've been working on in Congressman Mehta's office. We have made it a priority to be sure that treatment centers are getting extra funding, to be sure that law enforcement are getting the training through grants through the federal government. We also made sure that the federal law enforcement is working with local law enforcement. Those are critically important things, and we need to be sure that we continue that and even strengthen that. I know many people, and I've met with many people across this district that are struggling with this issue. Families are being broken up. There are people dying because of it. It's an issue that has to be addressed. I know the state legislature has addressed it some. We need to make sure that we're working with physicians, with the law enforcement community, to be sure this issue is addressed on a national level. Thank you.
Next question starts with Albert Wiley, and that is, what changes, if any, do you wish to see in federal immigration policy?
Well, I think our immigration laws, if I were in Congress and had aides and so forth to really educate me in detail about these laws, I could say this with more certainty. But I think from what I understand, our laws are pretty good. It's just they're not being enforced. And so specifically what change I might make in an immigration law right now, I wouldn't want to say. I'd like to, I believe that enforcement of our current laws is good. I do believe that the wall is necessary. After all, Robert Frost, President Kennedy's poet, said in his inauguration, good fences make good neighbors. And I think that's true but, with about this wall. I've spent a lot of time in Israel as part of my job in the last 10 or 12 years as a medical emergency response person for the Department of Energy, training people in 25 countries. I've seen these walls work very well in Israel in controlling all interdicting all sorts of bad substances from coming into their country, as well as terrorism, drugs, and so forth. So I think the wall is necessary to keep some stability in our immigration numbers. It becomes chaos if the whole world comes in at one time.
Okay. Wayne King.
Well, first of all, I believe that we must continue securing our border and building the wall. I think that is critically important, that we have a secure border. We need people to come through the front door instead of the back door in our country. We need to know who's here. I spoke of law enforcement just a few minutes ago. Law enforcement leaders are concerned about that. They're concerned about who's here to make sure that the men and women their men and women are safe on their law enforcement agencies, but the citizens are safe. And that is extremely important. We need to be sure that we require, absolutely fundamentally require, law enforcement leaders and heads of agencies, just like the sheriff here in Buncombe County, to be sure that we make sure that he follows the federal immigration laws. That is a huge concern that I have. We must have a unified approach for securing our nation. And this results in terrorism and other things that where criminals come to our and cause problems. We also must have some way of being sure that we have workers for the hospitality industry and the agriculture industry, but we need to make sure that they are fair, legal citizens, and we need to have a pathway for those people to come in a temporary basis in a fair, legal way, nonviolent criminals, and we need to be sure that we do that. The agriculture leaders in this district are crying out for help. They can't find enough help. And we've got to be sure that we have a pipeline of people that can come here in a fair, legal manner, as long as they do not cause any kind of criminal issues or anything like that. Thank you.
Okay. Vance Patterson.
We have a good immigration policy. You just can't enforce it because we've got an open border. There's 2,000 miles, roughly, of border between the United States and Mexico. 700 miles of that is land. The other 1,300 is the Rio Grande. So it takes some creative thoughts as to how to secure that border. As I said earlier, once we secure the border, we can force the cross point, people crossing at regulated cross points. Then Border Patrol can focus on the criminals and not on the families. Once we have the people here, and thank you to Presidents Bush, Clinton, Bush, and Obama, we've got 11 to 17 million illegal immigrants or illegal people here in the United States and what to do about them. Nobody seems to have the right answer on that. I believe we have an immigration and naturalization department. Everybody forgets about the naturalization. I am not in favor of amnesty, but I am willing to work with the naturalization process to allow these people to become naturalized citizens going through the program, 5 years of residency, 5 years green card. They have to learn American history, learn to read and write English, and doing that, they will be more American than a lot of people walking down the streets right now when they learn that American history. As Wayne said, we need these people to fill roles in our workforce. We've built these Charters of Freedom settings around the country, and one of the biggest problems we have are finding brick masons. It's hard to find somebody that still knows that craft.
Time.
That needs to tie back to our education process.
Okay. And Wayne, you'll get the next question here first. The 11th District is home to the National Centers for Environmental Information in Asheville, which is the federal government's climate science office. It reported last year was the hottest year on record in North Carolina. What measures do you support or would you support at the federal level to combat the effects of climate change?
Well, I have visited the center here in Asheville a number of times, and I believe that we definitely need to look at that. I think that that's something that we need to make sure that there's a study done on that and to look at ways to combat climate change. And I think that there's obviously scientists and folks that have worked currently with the federal government that has put out a number of plans, and I'd love to learn more about that issue.
Vance.
Well, there's no question the climate is warming up. The last time we had climate change, it was cooling off. This is not man-caused climate change. The Earth cools and warms naturally, and most legitimate scientists can explain to you why that happens. I grew up back in the 60s, and I remember when the Cuyahoga River in downtown Cleveland caught on fire. Every fire truck in Cleveland was down pouring water on the river because of the pollution. They are now fishing again in the Cuyahoga River. I remember when Lake Erie was declared dead to commercial fishing. They are now fishing commercially in Lake Erie. I remember when we had acid rains coming up from Alabama, killing all our lakes and rivers. That's not happening anymore. We are good stewards, or can be, have demonstrated that we can be good stewards of our environment. And this is what we need to do, is to maintain a good, clean environment and let the earth warm and cool as it will. But I don't believe it's being caused by man.
Albert Wiley.
Yeah, I certainly agree that we need to maintain a good, clean environment. As a cancer specialist, the best way to deal with cancer is to prevent it, and that means having good, clean water and food and air. Climate change we all know there is climate change. We have fall, we have winter, we have summer, so forth. But what we're talking about is, what has mankind done to contribute to this change, or has it been a natural process over the millions of years? Well, this is a very difficult scientific issue having to do with, here's one of my publications that I read often, Physics Today. They're talking a lot about meteorology. The science of meteorology is a very complex science. I've learned it myself as a nuclear engineer. At times I had to deal with it in trying to plan where a radioactive plume might go from a nuclear reactor accident such as Fukushima and Chernobyl, incidentally where I have worked at both places in recent years, deployed there by the Department of Energy. And so I have experience with meteorology and the understanding of it, but it's a basic experience. And I do have many friends who are really expert in this field. And I would say climate change, has mankind influenced it? At this point, needs to be studied. But I don't think we should make any economic gestures like the Paris Accord toward it. I think it needs to be studied.
Next question.
In this area, North Carolina, the western part of this beautiful western North Carolina, our forest fires, we need to concentrate as a congressman.
You're over time. We have to go to the next question.
Doing something about helping to prevent forest fires.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll go on to the next question. That's our last question. This will be our last question before we then head to final closing statements. And this question goes to Vance Patterson. And that is, what do you feel is the biggest infrastructure need in the 11th District?
Oh, having just driven back from Murphy, I would say fix the Nantahala mudslides that are occurring on a regular basis. It happened yesterday. I got held up driving over, and it was closed when I came back. But, the infrastructure bill is going to be passed sooner or later. We need to make sure that Western North Carolina gets what they need to provide, fast, safe service, transportation throughout the district. We've got a large district, 17 counties. You tell that to other people and their eyes kind of roll because it is huge. And there are a lot of diverse challenges across the district. So it needs to be, you know, an approach, not just throwing money at it, but it needs to be planned. You need to figure out what it's going to do to the environment, what it's going to do to the culture of the area, and be careful what you wish for, because you may end up changing things that that you really didn't want to do.
Okay. Albert Wiley.
Well, chronically, certainly, I hope some infrastructure bill is passed eventually by Congress, because that not only is something that would help us currently and our future populations, but it also will give a lot of good employment to people who are talented in these kinds of skills of building roads, building bridges, so forth. This part of the state certainly has a number of bridges that need some attention. It also has chronic problems with roads, mudslides, and so forth. So we could spend money very wisely if it were available in this state in that type of infrastructure. I also think some attention needs to be directed toward our water systems. My father was city manager of Forest City for a number of years, and his big legacy, he was a chemical engineer, was he brought them one of the better drinking water quality plants in the country at the time. And I'd like to make sure that all of the infrastructure of our water plants is good, that there's no excessive lead and things like that.
Okay. Wayne King.
Well, infrastructure is certainly something that needs to be talked about, and we need to be sure that we're not throwing money just at an issue. Rural broadband is something that I believe that is a big effect to the low factories and things that the recruitment efforts from a lot of your economic development teams have had a problem. Everywhere I go, I hear from people about broadband. I think that's something that has to be addressed, especially in the rural communities, where they can provide more and better paying jobs. There's a lot of companies that cannot come to areas without good rural broadband. And I think that's something that the federal government has to step up to the plate to be sure that that is serviced in a lot of our rural communities. I do believe that the road and bridges issue are something that has to be talked about as well. But I also believe that we must have this as a comprehensive package, that we're not just throwing money at a problem. We talked about debt a few minutes ago. It's hard to do a lot of these things if you're not talking about the debt that's going to come on the backs of people. That has to be talked about as well. Thank you.
Okay. And now we're going to go on to closing statements. Each candidate will get 1 minute to make their closing statement today. And just a reminder to those viewing right now, we will have a second forum with additional candidates coming up at noon today right here on our Facebook page. And I want to thank the candidates for coming in this morning and taking the time to come to our forum. So we can begin our closing statements with Wayne King.
Well, Matt, thanks so much for having us today. I'm thankful for the opportunity. I believe that we as a district need to be sure that we send a member of Congress that can hit the ground running on day one. And I've said that several times. I am the only candidate in this race that can talk about and do the job from day one with regards to constituent service. I would love to be your member of Congress. You can check out more about me at WayneKingForCongress.com. That's WayneKingForCongress.com. We must be there to defend our president. We must send a member that's going to build the wall and secure our border, ensure that the military is ready. We must protect the right to life at conception. Our Second Amendments must not be trampled on by anybody, and we have to have someone that can stand up to the radical left and Nancy Pelosi. Thank you for the opportunity.
Vance Patterson.
Before my time starts, I would hire somebody like Wayne, or I would hire Wayne to work with you on constituent services, and I would work with you on energy and health care. Thank you, Matt, for having us today, because this is really important. My father used to say, to foresee is to rule. And I have looked at the Democratic candidates, and they're not going to run a socialist like they did against Mark Meadows. They're going to run, I believe, a left of center moderate, similar to Heath Shuler, and it's going to be very difficult to beat. We need to put out the most qualified candidate, somebody who can, as much like President Trump as possible, in business and in entrepreneurship. I have my family, my business, and my foundation that I love very much working with. So people ask me, why am I running for U.S. Congress? And I tell them, because I know what to do. I know how to do it, and it would be irresponsible of me not to step up. If you elect me and send me to Washington, I will be the one who can sit in Congress, congressional committee meetings, and explain what President Trump is doing, why he's doing it, and what effect it will have on the trade and economy and jobs. I ask for your vote and your support. I am ready.
Thank you. Albert Wiley.
Thank you very much for this opportunity, Matt. Yes, I agree that President Trump needs our support and will need it when he's reelected. I have worked very closely with almost every federal agency the last 10 or 15 years. I retired as full-time as a cancer specialist. I still do it part-time in several hospitals down east, and that's why I reside there right now. But I have a home in Rutherford County for the last 25 years, so I would be back up here if I were elected. I want to put that in the comment. And I have, the last 15 years, worked for the Department of Energy, been deployed to 25 countries, many like Israel and Russia and Ukraine a number of times. And I was even deployed to the Baghdad embassy, the one that recent rocket attacks back in 2010. And those rocket attacks are not new. They were going on even when I was there, when I was deployed as a contractor for the Department of Energy. But President Trump needs somebody in there who not only understands his domestic policy, but also his foreign policy. And I have learned quite a bit about foreign policy. I've been out of the country essentially a year and a half out of the last 10 years. And I learned quite a bit. I've had a congressman, Bill Young, who was my first cousin. I worked with him he was in Congress for almost 30 years. I worked closely with him. I've testified before Senator Lehman's Homeland Security staff. I understand Congress very well. I will hit the ground running if you elect me for 2 to 3 terms. Thank you.
You've been listening to a candidate forum with the three Republicans seeking their party's nomination in North Carolina's 11th Congressional District, which encompasses all of Western North Carolina. Early voting concludes on February 29th for the primary, and those who have not yet registered to vote can only vote during the early voting period. For a full list of early voting sites and the hours they are open in Western North Carolina, use our early voting guide at bpr.org. The deadline to request an absentee by mail ballot is February 25th, and primary day itself is Tuesday, March 3rd. And remember, you do not need photo ID to vote in the primary election. I'm Matt Bush, and I thank you for listening.